We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The right-handed hitting Franco, and he'll swing, hit it high in the air, deep left field. Way back goes the left fielder, and it's a home run. He ran into the wall and fell down, and it was just over the left field wall, Reyes. And it's a three-run homer for Michael Franco. His second homer is a Royal, his second homer tonight, his third hit of the night, and the Royals open up some daylight as they're now up 10-5.
Steve Stewart last night here on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals went home run crazy after what looked like another repeat of the mistake done. They have a nice little comeback last night. In fact, tied the franchise record with six that left the ballpark, one of which was cheered heavily by one man in right field working.
Yeah, that one guy standing out there.
For Detroit. I still don't understand that one quite a little bit. It was fine.
That guy had his arms up in the air. He was happy.
Celebrating. I don't know if he wasn't paying attention and thought it was the wrong team or he was a Royals fan that's been
stuck
working in Detroit. I have no idea, but he's probably been reassigned today. Poor guy.
Poor guy's not working anymore for the Tigers.
Nice little comeback win last night.
Yeah, it was fun last night. Last night was one of those games that took you on the range of emotions, right? It took you from your ultimate lows, which was the beginning of that game, because as you mentioned in the update, the couple of errors and mistakes that they made early on, you know, Brett Phillips throwing to the wrong base, an error by Franco throwing over the first, you're like, oh my gosh, here we go again. They're not going to be able to recover from this. And the good news is they were able to recover from that, and they recovered from it in a big way, and they were able to bounce back and really put some separation between themselves and the Tigers late in that game. And listening to Stu call that home run there, opening up some daylight, I, honest to God, I didn't feel good until the final out was made, and they got that final out, and Spire recorded that final out for the Royals, and they got that win, and now they're sitting at 2-2, and on July 28th, the Royals are just a half game back, guys. We're approaching August, and the Royals are just a half game back in first place, right? That's all you want, is to be there when August comes around, and we'll see what kind of moves Dayton makes over the next month before the trade deadline gets here to strengthen this ball club. But here we sit, man. It is go time as we approach the month of August. The Royals are just a half game back.
At 500?
Yeah.
At the end of July, heading into to August at 500. That's exactly
if I would have told you that back in April, would you have taken that?
Yeah,
absolutely would have taken that. Well, that's where we are. You're right. At 500, half game back, and we're on the cusp of the month of August and the calendar turning
for sure
to one of the most important months of the season when it comes to baseball. But last night had everything. I mean, like I said, it had that range of emotions that you kind of want throughout the course of a game. You don't need, you know, necessarily, but sometimes you want a course of a game emotion to keep it interesting for you, and they did that, and they battled back, and I love the moxie that they showed last night, because I think a lot of us were kind of feeling the same way. Once they fell down 5-1 or whatever it was, like, oh my god, here it goes again against the Tigers, come on now. And they found a way to fight back,
and
so
even
I love
it was
the
like,
resolve.
I think it was like 5-4 and they pulled Fulmer,
yeah,
their starting pitcher, because he just clearly didn't look like he had it. I still thought, well, that's gonna bring in somebody else, it'll be fine, this wasn't this guy's night, whatever,
right,
both teams are like got rid of pitchers like two innings, you know. I still didn't feel, but I as they started kind of piling on, I felt pretty good.
You felt good about it. Yeah. Once they started to get home run after home run,
I wasn't on the last out is what I'm telling you, Bob.
Oh, you weren't.
No,
yeah, okay,
no, I was.
Yeah.
I was way comfortable before then. Okay. After you started seeing, well, this guy's making his major league debut.
Right.
This guy's making his major league debut for the Tigers. I meant,
of course.
And then, you know, they were inevitably getting, you know, hit the first time or whatever,
right,
or very soon in their short little tenure. I was pretty comfortable with the win, but yeah, early on it was like, okay, they have to figure out a way to overcome mistakes. So if nothing else, they overcame a mistake,
yep,
and hopefully can learn from that. Don't get in those situations either.
Correct.
But it was like, you know, overthrow or air overthrow, a 3-run homer.
Right.
And those are like, ugh. But you found a way to overcome that and get out of it. Rather you overcome it during an inning,
mm-hmm,
you know, like,
sure,
you overcome an error and an overthrow and get yourself out of it somehow, rather than a 3-run home run and a deficit. But you found a way to overall overcome it in the game, so that's good. You can put that in your back pocket. Like, we can come back. We're not done.
Right, exactly. And I thought it was big. I thought you could see the resolve of Witt and Salvi too, basically taking over that game. We're like, all right, we're not losing this thing. And they both go out there and perform in Franco too, man, with the two big home runs that he had last night. Whit Merrifield just a triple shot of, you know, the cycle last night, which would have been awesome if he was able to get that last night. I think everybody was kind of rooting for Witt to get to that, you know, that triple
It was such a like blowout at the end. You know, he had that pop up to left center for his last at bat. I'm like, just drop it.
Well,
like,
I mean, Ryan was rooting for people to collide with each other.
Just do one of those oops and then let it roll, and then you guys jog, let him get a triple,
right,
let's be done with it.
And,
you know,
and you hold them too if you're the third base coach, right? Like, even if you could get an inside the park home run, you're holding Witt there at third base and allowing him to get that triple, because, you know, that's the way you want to end it. And, you know, Rex at one time during the TV side of things mentioned that, you know, he already has the hardest one out of the way, and that's a home run. And I hate to disagree with Rex, but I'm going to disagree with Rex. I think the hardest one to get, Josh, is the triple in Major League Baseball. You see a hell of a lot more home runs than you do triples in Major League Baseball. And I think, you know, the home run, you know, isn't the hardest one. I think if you're ranking them, the triple is the hardest. Maybe the home run is the second, the double, then the single. And that's how you kind of rank it, of what's the hardest to get. So he was close, man. And I was rooting for him to get there and to hopefully get that cycle for the first time in 30 years when George got it at Sky Dome up in Toronto. So great offensive performance last night. And once Mike Montgomery left the game, the pitching got a heck of a lot better for the boys in blue. Foster Griffin was really good. And now we've got that forearm strain we have to worry about, and it's kind of like what we talked about yesterday with Verlander. Those forearm strains are never good.
Well,
man, you're making your major league debut.
Body language after that happened,
oh,
I
was
like, he kind of pointed at his elbow, and
yep,
I'm like, oh, he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
He was devastated. That sucked, because he pitched really well, and then it went just like that.
That,
like, all of a sudden everybody went, uh-oh,
right?
Salvi jumps up and signals the dugout, the Matheny and the trainer come out. He's looking like just devastated.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hope it's just a strain, and he, you know, tweets out like Verlander did.
Yeah.
News is, I'm just going to rest for a few, but that did not look good.
No. And it didn't sound good afterwards either when he talked about it.
Professor, Mike was saying how you've been relatively healthy your entire career. Is that the case? Is this kind of a new territory for you?
Yeah, so day one, this happens. Been healthy my whole career, so it wasn't easy.
Thanks, hang in there, man.
So there it is. That's Foster Griffin after the game, breaking down, upset, crying, very, you know, obviously just a mess after the game.
That's not right.
I mean, it's your 25th birthday. Yeah. It's your major league debut. You're rolling in your first inning and two-thirds, rolling through that lineup. That first inning was marvelous by Foster Griffin. And then that happens, and you could tell right there, based on that audio and the way that he was holding back tears, that it's not good, and we're probably looking at least a year from now until we see him again, if that's ultimately what it becomes, and that ultimately is that Tommy John surgery. So very sad news for Foster Griffin yesterday, and sad news for us, because I thought he was pitching great, you know, for the boys in blue, man. He was looking good out there. I mean, he was exactly what the Royals needed after Mike Montgomery came in, and, you know, that was a typical Mike Montgomery performance that we've seen in Kansas City. I mean, he was 3-9 with a 4.95 ERA last year. Didn't really do much for the Royals Royals last year and hasn't really done much in the spring, and I don't think looked all that good in the summer camp that we saw those couple of games. And then yesterday comes out, and he wasn't any good yesterday either. And so you're starting to figure out, you know, who can pitch and who can't right now at this level and in the 60-game season. And you saw Foster Griffin. I'm thinking to myself after that first inning, well, maybe when you do another bullpen start, maybe he's a guy who gets your opportunity to start that game. Or maybe if you want to replace Mike Montgomery in the starting rotation and do a bullpen game there, maybe Foster Griffin's a guy who's going to get a call, and then he goes down with that injury. And that really, really stinks for everybody involved, especially for him, man. Your big league debut on your 25th birthday, how are you going to remember that? That's the day my forearm tightened up, and it looks like possibly I may have to have some surgery, and that's not a good thing. Not so that's done. But they got the win, man, and they're sitting at 2-2, and they showed fight, and they came back, and that's what was necessary yesterday. I was glad to see that. That was a nice win for the Royals.
Meanwhile, across baseball, certainly the top story when we signed off the show yesterday involved the Miami Marlins being quarantined in Philadelphia, their game at home canceled. The Phillies game at home with the Yankees canceled or all postponed at this point, whatever, because the Marlins had an outbreak of coronavirus in their traveling party. Well, Rob Manfred had to go on MLB Network last night and try to ease some fears and what looked like a highly scripted appearance. That thing was a formatic.
Yeah.
Commissioner, what is it you are doing for baseball?
Well, I don't think Tom Verducci's very good on television anyway.
It was just so awkward because it was clearly, we got to do something.
Yeah, so Rob, get over to Jersey and put on a blazer and get over there.
I got to go put out this fire. Let's go over and do this. But anyway, Rob Manfred says safety is the most important thing, and additional tests to the Marlins and everyone else is priority number one.
Well, our first concern, obviously, is the health of the players and their families and making sure that we do everything possible to minimize the spread of the virus among our employees. We've been fortunate so far. We've done tens of thousands of tests. Our positive rate has been 0.4%. So we feel like the protocols have worked pretty well. Notwithstanding that fact, we have made some decisions. The Miami Marlins will not play their two games in Miami tonight and tomorrow. We're doing some additional testing. If the testing results are acceptable, the Marlins will resume play in Baltimore on Wednesday against the Orioles.
Well, you can't bring a bunch of, you know, people infected with the coronavirus to Baltimore on Wednesday, Rob, to play a baseball game. Okay, so if you're going to bring people,
I think they were already bringing them yesterday too, weren't they?
I think they were starting to bring them down from Philadelphia. Like you cannot bring guys. You got to make sure you're testing these folks every single day.
Was it like a Lysol bus or something they were riding in? What exactly did they do?
Ultraviolet lights were just killing everything, I guess, or whatever. I don't know how they were doing it and what they were doing and how they were going about business, but yesterday with Major League Baseball, there are so many things to dissect with this thing, and I thought about a lot of them yesterday. Number one, Major League Baseball players, last I checked, they put their pants on the same way we do, right? One leg at a time. I don't think anybody's jumping into their pants, you know, with both legs at the same time. Maybe somebody is, like that guy who had the big pants and a couple of Royals players.
Jonathan Broxton.
Yes. Maybe he's jumping into his pants a little bit differently. But last I checked, Major League Baseball players, NFL players, you know, athletes, they all do the same thing. They all put their pants on the same way that we do. The fact that folks believe, and this is the extreme takeaway that I had yesterday from a lot of this, because you only see extreme opinions really on social media, and people, if they're kind of middle of the road, they don't say anything. They just go about their day, right? So you see these extreme opinions yesterday. I think there were people under the impression that no professional athlete was ever going to contract this coronavirus and that everything was going to be okay if you played a professional sport. Well, that's just not the case. I mean, we are still living in a world where there is a coronavirus outbreak and a pandemic in this country, and this virus is being passed around from person to person to person. That's why it is so important to wear your mask, wash your hands, take the precautions that are necessary, use the hand sanitizers, clean your area. All of that kind of stuff is so important so you're not leaving residue and chewed pens and things like that behind for the next person. So ultimately, I think what you have to understand is that these guys are human beings as well, and the coronavirus does not discriminate between athlete versus non-athlete. And just because you're playing in a professional sport doesn't mean you are absolved from potentially catching a virus That is out there in the air. So I think the first thing that we have to understand is athletes are going to get this. There are going to be a lot of positive tests the first couple of days in the NFL because people are coming back from all places. They're coming back from where they probably weren't following social distancing guidelines, and they were hanging out with family and friends for the last month in different parts of the country, and they're all converging now. So yeah, there's going to be some positive tests. I think the way that we react to those positive tests, though, is the way that we is ultimately going to tell the story. We can't freak out and shut everything down because there's been some positive tests. We have to find out why those positive tests were there. What happened to those positive tests? And to those people that have tested positive, get them the hell out and away from everybody else. Now, it probably wasn't handled best by the Marlins on Sunday by playing that game and everybody getting on a group text and deciding, yeah, we're fine, we'll play, what the hell, no big deal, we'll go out there, we don't feel like we're in any danger. But you could put other people in danger, and Major League Baseball needs to regulate that. But by no means should everybody be sitting around thinking the end of baseball is near or athletes are all going to be absolved from getting the coronavirus, because that's just not the case. And then you have guys like David Price who opted out that are openly rooting for Major League Baseball to fail this year like he does in the postseason every year. And it really is disheartening to see how many people piled on yesterday and screamed at Major League Baseball to shut this down. And I don't think anybody was out there necessarily trying to hold the Florida Marlins accountable except Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly baseball shouldn't put them in a position to have that be the determining factor whether or not they're going to play.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
The commissioner postponed the Monday games.
Right.
Didn't have any say of the other game.
Right.
Sunday.
Did they call the commissioner and say this is what was going on? Because Rob Manfred is a punching bag right now, and rightfully so. He has not been a good leader throughout all of this. But sometimes the issue isn't his fault. Sometimes the issue lies with the individual or the team. And we don't ever, ever in this country anymore hold people personally accountable for their actions. And if the Marlins were out doing things that they shouldn't have done, like Whit Merrifield alluded to and talked about yesterday in his press conference, we'll hear that coming up in our next segment. If they were doing that kind of stuff and they weren't following the social distancing guidelines and doing what was asked of them, how's that Rob Manfred's fault? How's that Major League Baseball's fault? That ultimately becomes a Marlins problem, and they didn't handle the issue the right way. And if nobody called Rob Manfred on Sunday morning and said, hey, we got a lot of positive tests here, what should we do? How's he supposed to know that they got a lot of positive tests and what they're supposed to do? So I think yesterday there was a lot of celebrating and dancing on the grave of Major League Baseball when that's not the proper way to approach it. The proper way to approach it is to get the infected people out, calm the situation down, and find out what happened. And maybe Major League Baseball needs a narc line just like the NBA has, because it seems like it's working with the NBA.
Maybe Witt's the one calling it. We'll hear from him next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Tuesday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Kramer Sansone producing once again today. We will chat with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, coming up at 7:30. Of course, you can hear him this season on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf, your new home for the Chiefs, and 610 Sports Radio, the new official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. Before the game yesterday, Whit Merrifield spoke with reporters. And we were discussing in the last segment the Marlins and their outbreak of a coronavirus. And nothing spreads faster than coronavirus than rumors.
Oh, that's right. Rumors are juicy, okay. Right? Yeah.
And so amongst the players, they may be hearing things.
I don't know the specifics about Miami. We've heard rumblings, and hopefully some of the stuff that we're hearing isn't true. And if it is, then it's unfortunate that some selfish people in certain situations would put the entire league in jeopardy. So hopefully it's a learning experience and stuff like this won't happen again.
So how about that by Whit yesterday? You know, Vern sent us the Zoom session yesterday, and he sent it to me. And like, that was it. I'm like, that's really odd. And so I responded back to him. I go, did you take away that, you know, Whit was like kind of
hearing things?
Yeah. He goes, I kind of had the same impression. I'm like, oh, okay, good. I thought so. I felt like he's like out there basically wanting to say, hey, this is what we're hearing. But, you know, you can't go out there and just, you know, report false rumors. But if at the end of the Zoom session yesterday, whatever time of day that was, there wasn't much lag time, a couple of hours between the time that the Florida Marlins, you know, were announced with the COVID situation to the time that Witt was out there meeting with the media, rumors do travel fast. And rumors do travel fast in a sport like Major League Baseball, where a lot of folks are close. And I appreciate Whit Merrifield coming out and saying something like that, Josh, and basically, you know, blowing the cover off of this thing. And if these guys that were with the Florida Marlins were doing things that weren't appropriate, if they were out in Miami, which is a hot spot of COVID, you know, during spring camp, and then went up to Atlanta and were going to get those chicken wings that Lou Williams was raving about, you know, who knows what kind of trouble they could have potentially gotten themselves into when it comes to the coronavirus. And if you are out and if you are not taking care of yourself away from the ballpark and you're not following the rules at the ballpark away from the ballpark, you are endangering yourself. And not only yourself, you're endangering your teammates, you're endangering the other team, you're endangering people who work in the ballpark, and you're endangering the league of shutting down because of your behavior away from the ballpark. And that's why it is so important for Major League Baseball players and NFL players this year and college football players, should we see college football this year, it is important for everyone to maintain the status quo and everything that you're doing at the stadium and at the ballpark and at your practice facility. You need to practice that away from your practice facility as well. We talked about Jamie Collins yesterday of the Lions saying, I'm not going to tell people how to live their life, but don't mess with my money. And I think there's going to be guys in the NFL that do stuff they're not supposed to do, and the veterans probably beat them up inside that locker room because they don't want to mess with their money. They don't want to see that season canceled. And I think if the Miami Marlins are out doing things and we're out doing things, and that's how the coronavirus was caught and spread because somebody was doing something they shouldn't be, that person does need to be called out, and that person does need to be removed from baseball for the year and not have any pay. We need to have harsh restrictions and punishments in place this year for people who violate the personal conduct policy that revolves around the coronavirus. And I don't care about your union or your contract or anything like that. Your actions, by not doing the right thing, your actions are jeopardizing all 31 or 29 other teams, depending on what sport you're in, and a lot of people that make money off of you guys, and a lot of people that are in business because of baseball. There are a lot of folks that are jobs and livelihoods are at stake, and if you can't just stay away from the bars and clubs for 60 days, what does that really say about you as a person? You're a selfish ass.
Well, that's why I said yesterday that you know, as much as I want to hammer baseball initially, you have to find out if this was a Marlins problem or a baseball problem.
Right.
And if it's a Marlins problem, then yes, you take care of it one way. And if it's a Marlins problem with either overlooking protocol or players not doing what they should be doing to mm-hmm. take care of themselves, that's one thing. If it's baseball and it's got a breakdown in its overall system, mm-hmm. then you gotta take care of that, like, baseball wide. You had to see if this was a Marlins problem or an overall baseball problem. Now, I think baseball had its culpability in this whole thing and how it reacted very slowly, seemingly, to this by not pausing, you know, Sunday.
But again, was that baseball's fault or is that the Marlins' fault?
Yeah, pausing, you know, Sunday instead of Monday and Tuesday, and really tried to nip this in quick. But I think if what players are hearing comes to fruition, where players weren't doing what they should be doing, that's a completely different issue. That's to me not a shutdown issue. That's an individual responsibility issue. It's not a baseball shutdown. What we're doing isn't working issue. It's players aren't following that.
Right. It shut down the players who aren't following the protocols. And it's not just Witt who's, you know, kind of hinting about that kind of stuff. I had a conversation with a national media member yesterday, and he said the same thing to me. He goes, man, I've heard some things that, you know, maybe they were not doing the right things away from the baseball field, you know, like they should have been doing. And like a lot of the teams are doing and respecting the process that we have in place this year, because we worked too hard to get here, Josh. That's the other thing. Like, what baseball drug their fans through, you know, through April and May and June to get to this point in time, was nasty, was ugly, and was gross. And now we got here, and you're going to go out and you're going to do things away from the field that you're not supposed to do, potentially, allegedly, maybe, to maybe get this whole thing shut down after all the hard work and you know, tears that were poured into this thing by a lot of people. You're going to go out there and ruin it because you want to go out? If that ends up becoming the case, and we do find out that the Marlins were not doing what they were supposed to do away from the baseball field, I would absolutely have no problem with Major League Baseball shutting down their organization for the year.
Whit Merrifield hopes players will use this as a learning experience.
I think we all anticipated something like this happening 3 days into the season, maybe not so much, especially after we had such a good summer camp as far as numbers go throughout the league. So, yeah, it was a little concerning that it happened so quickly into the season, but hopefully it's just an anomaly. Hopefully something happened that shouldn't have happened, and we can learn from it and move forward and not have any more speed bumps like this.
913-576-7610. It's a lot what Whit didn't say in that's really funny to me.
Yes,
isn't it?
It's so good. I mean, if something didn't happen that may have happened that shouldn't have happened, then maybe we should handle that.
I'm just saying.
Read between the lines, my friend.
Yeah. Text line always open for you, 913-576-7610. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. They did get better, so you're going to have to deal with it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
That is the text line number. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss, 913-576-7610. Did they knock it out of the park, or did they not because they didn't really do anything? That is some of the questions being kind of bantied about among football people as to the Chiefs offseason. Wasn't very splashy, right?
No.
But didn't really have to be.
Didn't have to be, right?
You had your biggest splash was getting extensions done with your quarterback and your defensive lineman, which is fine.
Those are pretty big splashes.
Which are really, really big.
The richest contract in the history of professional sports, and then a week later, Chris Jones signs.
Yes. They're off a Super Bowl as well. And didn't lose anybody from their coaching staff,
right,
which is a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
You had very few changes in your starting lineup,
right?
One of which was an opt out,
right?
You know,
exactly.
So they weren't that exciting. Rave reviews coming in for the draft, but we haven't seen those guys yet, right? So you could still, if you were compiling things, you could say, "Well, I'm not gonna insert two rookies into a Super Bowl team and think they're gonna make a gigantic impact." Some have,
but
some have taken the cautious approach. So it's been interesting. It's been kind of all over the place. Either they did exactly what they needed to do, which was bring everybody back, or boy, this wasn't all that splashy in terms of bringing outside people in for a run. Peter Schrager of NFL Network, he for one thinks it's the best.
If you've been watching or working with me on this show over the past 5 months, I have one stat I love to recite. The Kansas City Chiefs are returning 20 of 22 starters. They also bring back their entire coaching staff, and they also added Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as well as restructured and found a way to keep all of the other players that they wanted. And oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes will be there for another 10 years. Chris Jones is going to be there. Your answer of the winner of the offseason is the same answer of the winner of the last time we saw an actual football game. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking about Joe Douglas having such a great weekend. Brett Veach is walking on water in Kansas City this entire offseason with what he's done in the front office for Kansas City. I'm going Chiefs, and I'm going Chiefs big.
Going Chiefs and going Chiefs big.
It's interesting because last week we talked about ESPN wrote, like, you know, who had the best off seasons or whatever, maybe the best changes or something like that in the offseason, and the Chiefs were way down that list. I'm like, I'm glad they're way down that list. They didn't need to make many changes, you know, this offseason. They did everything that they needed to do.
That seemed like another list phrase to figure out a way to get the Chiefs lower on the list.
Lower,
right?
On the list, yeah, well, absolutely.
Changes. They didn't make a lot of changes. Okay, so we could downgrade them for that.
Right, and we could say, look at these great changes the Bengals made. They drafted a quarterback, number one overall. You know, the biggest impactful awful moves or something like that. And the Chiefs were not high on that list, and nor should they have been high on that list, because they didn't make big impactful changes because they didn't need to make big impactful changes on their team. It wasn't like they, you know, were an 0-16 team and all of a sudden they needed a quarterback, or they were 2-14 and they needed defensive help or anything like that. They've got all those pieces in place. And sometimes you change just for the sake of making a change. And I don't think with the Kansas City Chiefs, you needed to do that this offseason, especially with the pandemic here. The best thing that they could have done was to bring everybody back so they could run it back. And, you know, when you see the drafts play out the way that they do, and you see Lucas Niang taken in the third round, I'm sure a lot of folks thought, why are you drafting a tackle when you have Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher ready to go? Well, their plan all along was to play him at guard. And lo and behold, you saw Laurent Duvernay-Tardif opt out.
Now he better be ready to play guard.
And now you're going to have this kid ready to go and play guard. That was a kid that you drafted, and that's going to fill a need sooner rather than later. Again, a great draft choice from a positional standpoint by Brett Veach at that spot to get somebody else in here now to beef up the depth and possibly become a starter now on that offensive line, because you have two spots available at both of your guard positions right now and three guys kind of fighting for those spots. So it was another good draft pick by Brett Veach. The first three picks of the draft have the ability on paper to be the best first three picks the Chiefs have ever had in an NFL draft. I think when you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire plus Willie Gay Jr. plus Lucas Niang, you have the possibility of drafting three Pro Bowlers and three longtime players here, you know, for Kansas City, as long-term as a running back can be, 4 or 5 years in the NFL. But you have the opportunity and really have an opportunity to knock it out of the park with those first three picks. And I think the Chiefs are going to knock it out of the park with those first three picks. And it's going to be a lot of fun watching those guys play for years to come. But when you don't need to do much in the offseason and you accomplish everything that you needed to do in the offseason, yeah, you had the best offseason. You signed the quarterback, you signed the defensive tackle. Nobody thought you'd get both of those done. You brought back Sammy Watkins, you know, for less money than he could have had. And you heard Brett Veach talk about it last week with us when he said those three guys got together basically and came up with a plan themselves to figure out a way to bring everybody back to Kansas City. So people want to be here, and they did everything they possibly needed to do to move forward from the Super Bowl championship onto the next year. They didn't leave one stone unturned, and I think they're ready to go, and I think they're ready to run it back, and it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
913-576-7610. Let's go ahead and shout it out. Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. And if you mention 610, you will get 10% off.
69 degrees is the perfect temperature.
It absolutely is. People love that temperature.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of people really say nice. 71 is a good temperature to you know, to have at, but I can understand 69 and why you like it.
Any home remedies for an ear infection? I don't like the doctor.
I got you one. Absolutely, 100%. This is what I do. Rubbing alcohol in your ear. I was a swimmer. My sister was a swimmer. After every practice, you'd get out of the pool. You put rubbing
mother
alcohol.
Your mother was a mudda?
Right.
Your father was
so
a mudda?
What does that make you? It's a mudda, yeah. So what you do is you pour a cap full of rubbing alcohol in each of your ears every single time you get out of the pool. It drains all the water, and knock on wood, you should be good to go. I don't know right now that you've already got the ear infection if it's going to work, but I'm telling you, to prevent that kind of stuff, to get that water out, rubbing alcohol in your ear. You can use hydrogen peroxide as well. That works just the same, but you got to get something in there to drain those ears after you've been in the pool or the ocean or the lake or wherever you know, you're swimming these days. You got to get that rubbing alcohol in there. Try it now. See if it works, but I'm not saying do that instead of going to the doctor, or you can do one of those teledocs. They do those and get you a pill. You know,
I was thinking for the best remedy for ear infection, the radio.com app. You can take it with you anywhere.
One. Yep.
You can use it on your smart speaker to listen to us. Yep. I think that's the best remedy for your ear.
And the best part about that app is the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to the show later in the day. I know I do that a lot. You go back to the time of the day you want to hear an interview, like 7:30. Mitch Holthus will join us here on 610 Sports Radio tomorrow at 9. Mike Matheny will join us. And if you don't catch it live, you can use that rewind
cure
feature.
Cure any ear infection.
Absolutely.
Sure. Shout out Bill Belichick in the booth during Professional Lacrosse League last night.
Oh, I
actually sounded human.
Wow.
No, I did catch some of this.
Who was running that?
CBS Sports Network, I guess it was.
Oh, no kidding. Where was the text? Like, hey, Belichick's in the booth. Put this on.
So Belichick, surprisingly knowledgeable about lacrosse.
His
although,
daughter's a big lacrosse player,
and then
right?
He found that one wide receiver via lacrosse, remember? But
right.
he was apparently comparing Cam Newton to, like, the best player in the lacrosse league and thinks Cam could be a really good lacrosse player.
That so doesn't sound well about his football skills.
I don't know.
Or anything?
No, just talked about how good his skills are.
That's pretty cool.
But
I'd
actually
love to have
knew
heard
something about lacrosse.
Well, his daughter played at Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, and then I think she's coaching lacrosse there now, too. Or so there's some kind of lacrosse family connection, but I'm not surprised Bill Belichick knows about that.
When are you guys going to get Peter Schrager on 610 for an interview? We've tried.
Yeah. Why don't you guys tweet to him and tell him he needs to come on?
We've tried. NFL Network is, I don't know.
I don't know. They're very protective of Pete. But, you know, we can come on and just have a Chiefs love fest together.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So if you guys want to tweet to Peter Schrager and tell him to come on the show, please, by all means, go ahead and do that.
It's time for a code red in the locker rooms. I don't know if we need to go that far, but maybe. Maybe the Marlins locker room. It might be time for the.
Yeah.
Wife thinks I have a QT pretzel problem. I don't care what she thinks.
She thinks you're a cutie pretzel? That's nice. So I like
he has
that.
A QT pretzel problem.
Yeah, how could you not, though? Those things are so good when you just kind of coat them with that butter that they have in there, too. Just a delicious pretzel.
The Royals' bats were on last night. Good to see them come alive. Absolutely, it was. I really thought that early five spot was going to be a problem last night.
Too.
And they were able to overcome it. So really, really good there. Any of you guys like a nice fat BLT?
Have you seen the commercials? Is it for Wendy's? Is it for Sonic that has the BLT?
I think it's a Sonic one.
Oh,
I've not tried it yet, but if it looks anything like the picture, which it normally doesn't,
no.
It could be fantastic.
I mean, did you see the stacks of bacon that they're putting on this thing?
It's like several inches high bacon. I can't imagine when you actually get it, it's not going to be all smashed down and whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe they slam the bacon on there. It's fantastic. I don't know.
Every time I see that commercial, I'm like, that's just a bacon. Oh, wait, that's a BLT with extra bacon on it.
We need to get Ryan on this one.
Oh, that thing looks fantastic.
Go do one of his little videos of pounding food.
Right.
Someone suggested the ear candle.
Oh, I've heard about that. I think Ryan has actually done the ear candle, but that, I think, gets the wax out of your ear. I don't know if that works for an infection, but again, I'm not a doctor.
Today is Friday for me. We'll be drinking Coors on the beach at about 4 o'clock tomorrow.
What beach are you going to? I need more information on that. How are you getting there? If you're flying, let me know what it's like. I've got a lot of questions for you, sir.
Someone says no face mask being worn in Branson.
No.
If you've read the news,
yeah,
no.
If you've seen the television,
nobody's.
Branson's not big on the wear the face mask.
They're not worried about masks on sports on necessarily in Branson.
They're worried about masks on Yakov Smirnoff on.
Correct.
Or whoever the, Brady or whoever is down there.
Wherever you live and whatever your priority is, I think you should do it.
That's right.
I think if you want more Yakov, friend of the show,
that's right.
You should indeed do that.
Andy Williams, is he performing down there?
Country
music star Gene Watson performing?
The person that's going to the beach is driving to Gulf Shores.
Okay, cool, man. All right, so you're driving. I get that. I'm all for the drive. The Gulf Shores is a place that we've always talked about going but have never made it there. So I'm excited for your trip, my man. Send pictures or whatever you can on Twitter. Let us know how it goes. I'm going to live vicariously through you as you're sitting on the beach drinking beer at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Someone does have recommended, says the BBLT is delicious.
Oh, it is? Okay. All right. Good. Good to know.
And garlic.
Because it looks good.
And garlic oil for your ear infections.
I can't endorse any of these. Do you drink that or do you pour it in your ear?
I don't know.
Because if you're telling me garlic oil for my ear infection, I'm thinking somebody's pouring that in your ear,
right?
I don't know that I'm taking a shot of garlic oil.
No, I think you're, yeah. You're
probably, I can only imagine the smell coming out of this guy.
Oh, God.
He tries all these things. He's not going to be worried about the ear infection anymore. That is today's edition of a Shout It Out. Text line always open for you, 913-576-7610. If you want to weigh in on, you know, BLT sandwiches or ear infections.
Yeah, another NFL player has opted out, too.
We span the globe there.
Yeah, whatever it is, we'll talk about it, man.
Another NFL player's opted out.
Yeah, pretty big name, too.
And when you thought it was just the Madden rankings that got players all wrinkled, we'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Boy, they really want to get away from Belichick, apparently, huh?
Boy, it sure seems like it.
There are now four Patriots have opted out of the 2020 season. Donta Hightower is the latest.
That's right. Pro Bowl linebacker, Super Bowl champion linebacker, set to earn $8 million this year. He's not playing.
Yeah.
Now, he had a baby 10 days ago, so I understand.
Just had a baby this month, and seemingly that is the reason he's opting out. Becomes the fourth Patriot that would opt out.
Yeah.
They have to replace all three of their linebackers who led them in snaps last year.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do. Yeah.
But also offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, who was a starter. Fullback Danny Vitale.
That's right.
and another offensive lineman, Najee Torin, also opting out of 2020. So they've had four players already, the Patriots, opt out of this upcoming season.
You know, I wonder what the real reasoning is behind that. When you see kind of that mass opt out from one team, maybe it's a bunch of guys that are like, well, Tom Brady's gone and Stid's going to be the quarterback or whatever. And I just don't want to go through the rigors of dealing with Bill Belichick if I don't have to.
The tackle
year,
that was the most recent one before Hightower had a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
That he overcame a number of years ago, and I think just didn't want to put himself at risk.
And I can't blame him
makes
for that.
Total sense.
Yep.
Hightower just had a baby. Although they're not, you know, they're not being bubbled or quarantined or anything, but they're, you know, there could be the risk of exposure to those. And if he wants to stay safe and everything, yeah, totally get it.
Right.
So yeah, they've had now four opt outs. That probably leads the NFL, I'm guessing.
No, it does. Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now, and the Patriots by far. The Washington football team has an opt out. The Dallas Cowboys have an opt out. The Seattle Seahawks had Chance Warmack opt out, and he didn't even play last year. DeAnthony Thomas,
which
of the
is
Baltimore
a great
Ravens.
Move, by the way.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
If you're
yeah.
loosely affiliated with the team at opting out, you get like $150,000.
Yeah,
right.
You might as well take it because it's going to be more than you're going to get when you're cut. Look, at rosters are being reduced from 90 to 80 automatically. Like 10 guys on every team are getting cut because of the new rules that have been put in place because of COVID. You're not expanding the rosters. You're trying to contain everything, and I get that. Jobs are going to be hard to find this year for a lot of the undrafted street free agents and the college free agents and guys like that. That normally have an opportunity to at least get into a camp and try out. Those opportunities aren't going to be there this year. And so I think for guys that are kind of looking at it and assessing the situation, man, I can opt out right now and take the $150,000 to opt out, or I could take my chance and play. And if I don't think I'm going to make the roster or whatever the case may be, then I get nothing. And so I think some of these guys maybe are getting ahead of the curve a little bit, like DeAnthony Thomas. He is opting out, and ESPN says it's believed that this was his personal choice not to play, and there are no pre-existing medical conditions that factored into the decision. So DeAnthony Thomas opting out in Baltimore, and then, of course, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif opting out and staying in Canada to work as an orderly up in Canada. And so he has decided to opt out. So I think some of these guys you look at and you say, okay, were you going to make the team? Were you guaranteed to make the team? And if they thought maybe their future was up in the air with that team and they weren't going to have an opportunity to stay and hang on, it's best to take the $150,000 and opt out this year, train, and then get back at it next year. And if you have a pre-existing medical condition, or like Donta Hightower did, you have a brand new baby. You don't want to put your baby in that situation, or your wife for that matter, and compromise her just getting out of the hospital. So I think Donta Hightower made the absolute right decision when it comes to the health and safety of his family, because I think also, again, as we talked about with the Marlins, and can you trust your teammate inside that locker room? If you just had a new baby, or somebody in your family is got their immune system compromised, can you look around for those 80 players and coaches and everybody inside that room and
make
say
sure everybody's doing their thing?
You 100% trust those guys to do the right thing? No, I don't think you can. And so I don't blame a lot of these guys who have these pre-existing conditions to say, you know what, I can trust myself, but I can't trust you. It was like my mother used to tell me when I started to drive. She goes, I'm not worried about you on the roads. I'm worried about everybody else on the roads. And that's kind of the way it is with the coronavirus. I know as a football player, as a baseball player, I'm going to do what I need to do, but there's a chance that somebody in this locker room is not going to do what they're supposed to do. And I'm not willing to jeopardize my family or the health of my family for you going out on a Tuesday night when you weren't supposed to do that and possibly infecting everybody.
So Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, both left in free agency, and Hightower is now opting out. So three starting linebackers from last year.
Yeah. Patriots got themselves some issues up there in New England, man. They and if they end up winning this division again this year and they get 10 wins he's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, just put him in Canton right now. I mean, he doesn't need to do anything else. So it's going to be a very interesting season from a New England Patriots standpoint to see how they hold up with all the deflections and the opt-outs that they've had.
All right, it's not just the Madden rankings that are getting under players' skin. Yesterday, Keenan Allen, wide receiver from the Chargers, was not all that happy that he was the 77th best player on the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2020.
Correct.
Okay. Tweeted out, okay, I'm tired of biting my tongue. At Cheetah, Tyreek Hill.
That's right.
At Mike Evans 13.
Okay.
At Chris Goodwin.
Mm-hmm.
Misspelled it. It was Chris Godwin.
Godwin. Yes.
So Chris, some poor Chris Goodwin got taken to task by Keenan Allen.
Really
Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin had some fun with it though. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I didn't see what his response was.
Yeah, it was like whatever, he sent it the wrong person. I'm still better than you, bro. Something like that. I mean, and the list goes on. Are not a better receiver than me. Faster than me every day of the week, but separation, child, please. His following tweet says, in all caps, I am the best wide receiver in the AFC West. Without question. So not only did he claim he wasn't happy with the rankings, but he made sure he let those know above him on the list that he didn't believe that they should be on the list above him, including one Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, well, and I think, and I respect Keenan Allen for feeling good about himself. You have to have that self-confidence. That's how people excel. They have that self-confidence, that belief that no matter what they do, it's going to work and it's going to be right and they're going to have success. And so I think as an athlete, you have to have that self-confidence that Keenan Allen has. But I think the biggest downfall for Keenan Allen was his ability to stay healthy. When he plays, he is really, really good. He is an amazing wide receiver, and I think he's a game changer. And I still go back, you know, we talk about that Alex Smith game so much, where they came back against the Chargers and won that game, where Keenan Allen went down in the first quarter. Remember that game, opening day a couple of years ago, 2016 or whatever it was?
They'd have won that game if
Keenan Allen doesn't get hurt. I think everybody agrees they would have won that game had Keenan Allen not gotten hurt in the opener, in the opening quarter of that game. And so Keenan Allen's biggest knock in 15 and 16, I think he played eight games, you know, of combined games during the course of those two season. So the biggest knock on him is he has a tough time staying healthy. But when he does stay healthy, Keenan Allen absolutely goes out there and wrecks defenses. I don't want to try to cover him two games a year, but I think he's really underselling Tyreek Hill. And last week when you were out, Josh, we talked a lot about Tyreek Hill because there were a lot of, you know, discussions about, is he the best weapon in football? Is he the best wide receiver in football? And we'll get to a lot of that coming up. And I think anybody who doesn't look at Tyreek Hill as one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL right now is underselling Tyreek Hill, because I think he is one of the five best wide receivers in the NFL. What he's able to do on the field, the way that he has grown on the field and grown as a wide receiver on the field, I mean, you can just watch and look at the growth that that guy has gone through from the day he got here with a you know, the raw skill set, just the speed. And I think he's transformed himself into one of the best five wide receivers in the game. And people want to go back like Keenan Allen did and go, well, he's got the speed, but I have better hands. I totally disagree with that. I think Tyreek Hill has some of the best hands in the National Football League. And if you don't believe that, Keenan, go back and watch the Houston Texan regular season game and watch him sky up and rip the ball down and score a touchdown. Now, every once in a while, he has a drop. Everybody does in the NFL. I'm sure Keenan Allen has had some drops. But I think anybody underselling Tyreek Hill, and the only reason you're underselling Tyreek Hill is because he's not 6 foot two and he doesn't look like the prototypical wide receiver. He's shorter than everybody else, but he's just as good, if not better, than just about everybody else in the NFL.
Now, Tyreek Hill didn't reply to the Keenan Allen tweet. Chris Godwin did, and he went, oh, bleep, LOL. Don't sweat it, G. Chris Goodwin ain't better than me either.
Right.
Because he tweeted to Chris Goodwin instead of Chris Godwin. Mike Evans then tweeted, you tagged the wrong Chris Godwin, LOL.
Yeah.
And don't be mad at us. We ain't make the rankings or care about them. I like the confidence, but be realistic. You're not at my level, bro.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But Mike Evans is legit, yeah, too. Yeah.
Wow, that was... Yeah. Yeah, it got personal between the wide receivers. The Devo wide receivers got all personal yesterday.
Good.
Maurice Jones-Drew, seemingly, though, has Keenan Allen's back on Good Morning Football.
Well, first of all, I would put a 17 fire emojis, just because, like, that's how you're... If you're going to do it, you do it that way. And, you know, I've been like on Instagram a lot and I've been like seeing these things and everyone's talking about their soulmate. Well, let me tell you what my soulmate would be, or what I would want it to look like. Keenan Allen releases. The way he gets off the ball when people are impressed, man, is unbelievable. He is not lying about separation. He may be the greatest route runner in NFL history, or at least the guy with the best releases. I mean, I talked with James Jones about it, who was in San Diego at the time when the Chargers were there. Keenan Allen, you cannot press him. You do not press him, because he's going to get off the ball and make plays. Now, he made one bad decision, and that's because he went to the University of Cal, and I'm not going to hold that against him. But I tell you what, since he's been in a Chargers uniform, he has been unstoppable out of the release. I agree with him. I mean, I'm not saying that he, you know, I think he should be definitely lower on that list, more in the 40s and 30s.
Well, the higher on that list, I think, is what you want to say too. In that, not in, in the 70s, but in the 30s and 40s. And you know, we tend to forget when we're watching football today and baseball today, for that matter. I think it's hard. Today, as hard today to be a professional athlete as it's ever been. I think it's very hard. And I think if you're the greatest right now, you're probably the greatest of all time. But man, Keenan Allen, I think, gets lost playing out in California where nobody cares about him. He's gotten lost playing on some bad teams, gotten lost being on the injury list for two straight years. To call him the best route runner in the history of the National Football League, though, man, like, I mean, I don't know that he's done enough to be considered the best quote-unquote route runner, and I don't even know how you judge who runs the best routes in the NFL.
Because
I think Tyreek Hill runs a pretty damn good route, too.
To me, personally, does he fall in that category of he was – maybe destined to have one of the greatest games I've ever watched in not in person, but live.
Right.
Yeah, quite possibly. Because sure. I thought that game, he was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. He was like on fire.
That game you're talking about, like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
If he hadn't gotten hurt, they couldn't stop him.
We may have seen records set that day.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's one of those.
But again, it was against that like, bad Chiefs defense.
That's to me like Durant at the field house.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Durant. Hurts the ankle or whatever. I'm like, he was going for 50. He was going to score 50 that day.
Correct.
I feel like Keenan Allen was having a monster day that would not have been stopped in that particular game against the Chiefs.
Right.
And was shortchanged by injury.
No, but I agree with you.
Yeah. But hey, have confidence in yourself. Have absolute confidence in yourself. I don't know if calling out the other wide receivers, but hey, he did go for it. I like that he didn't shy away from calling those out. He thought should be below him on the list. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, or radio.com sports station. Let's do a little Royals rewind brought to you by Bob Allen Ford. The Royals, nice comeback win last night, 14-6. Didn't look good early on. An error, an overthrow, and then a dinger.
Here's the pitch right down the heart of the plate and scalded it down that left field line, and it is a goner, a home run. A three-run home run by Jacoby Jones puts Detroit in front 4-1.
And it was eventually a 5-1 lead. Steve Fizziak, of course, last night here on 610 Sports Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like to me like game over. Like,
yeah, I think
Mike
a lot
Montgomery
of us felt that way.
Didn't pitch well. Couple of miscues got him in some trouble, and then it got amplified. You thought, okay, that's one of those you can't overcome mistakes like that type of nights.
Yeah, the Brett Phillips throw at the wrong base, Michael Franco with a throwing error early on in that game, and all of a sudden it starts to compound.
And then three-run homer, Montgomery,
you know, unable to get out of it. You got to be mentally tough in those situations and be able to get out of it. You can't hang a breaking pitch over the heart of the plate like that, and then find yourself down 5-1 when your team gave you a nice 1-0 lead to start the game with in the first inning.
But then the back come the Royals.
He's up there for the second time. Pitch was up. And there's a shot to deep left field, and that is way out of here. So Witt jumped on the first pitch he saw of that at bat from Fulmer. It was about belt high, a two-run homer, his first home run of the year, and the Royals are within two. It's now 5-3 Detroit.
Steve Stewart last night on 610 Sports Radio. All right. Got within reach.
2-1 to Perez. He swings and gets into one, sends it pretty deep to center field. Jones going back, still going. Jones to the fence, it's gone. Salvador Perez with his second home run on the year, and the Royals are within one. It's 5-4.
Okay. All right, now you got a ball game again.
Yeah.
And then the offensive floodgates just kept going. Whit Merrifield, who had the home run, had an RBI double to tie it. He was the triple shy of the cycle last night.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan O'Hearn, just off the DL, had a two-run single.
I thought his shot was the biggest of the night. You had guys on, and he blew it open.
To take the lead.
Two balls, two strikes. And the pitch. He swings, and he pulls it to the right side. Through the defense, into right center for a hit. One run is in. Now another runner coming around. Whit Merrifield, he'll score. It's a two-run single by Ryan O'Hearn. The Royals retake the lead. They're up 7-5.
My goodness, suddenly they have the lead, and they just keep on piling on.
Two down, 1-1, the right-handed hitting Franco, and he'll swing, hit it high in the air, deep left field. Way back goes the left fielder, and it's a home run. He ran into the wall and fell down, and it was just over the left field wall, Reyes, and it's a three-run homer for Michael Franco.
So Franco homers twice.
That's right.
In this one, and drives in four. Oh, they kept hitting home runs, by the way.
By Burrows, is swung on and belted high and deep. That's a way back, and that ball's gone. And the Royals lead it 12-5. We're only in the fifth inning.
There you go. Jorge Soler goes deep.
Here's the pitch, and that ball is struck well deep to right field. That's a way back, and Brett Phillips has hit a home run. The Royals with a six-home run game.
And that tied a franchise record, six home runs on the night. Royals win it 14-6. On the pitching side, Mike Montgomery, as you mentioned, pulled off the hook, five runs in two innings. Five relievers allowed just a run and four hits. Rookie Foster Griffin got the win, made his debut on the mound, one and two-thirds hitless innings in his debut. But sadly had to leave with a forearm strain that did not look good.
No, it did not look good. And really, quite honestly, after the game, it did not sound good. When he was on the Zoom call with Kansas City reporters, he was emotional.
Mike was saying how you've been relatively healthy your entire careers at the case. Is this kind of a new territory for you?
Yeah. So day one, this happens. I've been healthy my whole career. So. Wasn't easy.
Thanks, hanging there, man.
So there it is. After the game,
job,
Foster Griffin,
Mick Schaefer,
yeah, no
Channel
doubt.
41 making him cry,
make the kid cry a little.
Barbara
bit.
Barbara Walters over there,
25th birthday,
yeah,
first game ever in the big leagues, and then that happens.
He throws one. It veers high. Salvi says, "Oh, wait
Whoa.
A minute. Are you okay?" Calls him out from the dugout, and you can tell his reaction was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, not good.
And he kind of pointed, the one point he kind of pointed towards it. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
Like, this is not, because it's one of those things, like, he knows it
right
away.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Those things aren't something that, you know, you just find out about later on in life. No, you knew that right away. And for Foster Griffin to make his major league debut, also to have his 25th birthday, and to be so good yesterday, too, Josh, that was the devastating part. That guy was really good in his first inning in whatever it was. Two-thirds of Major League Baseball, and I'm sitting there going, all right, maybe the next time Mike Montgomery has a scheduled start, maybe we do a bullpen, you know, by committee here and give Foster Griffin the opportunity to go out here and start. Remember, it's only a 60-game season. It's hard to get a book on these players right away. It's his Major League debut. I would pitch him as much as I possibly can until the word got out on what Foster Griffin was about, and then he had to adjust. And by that time, hey, maybe it's the playoff time. Maybe it's the end of the season for you, and the league never adjusts to Foster Griffin. But I think he can be a part of the bullpen moving forward once all of the big guns come up, you know, from the minor leagues. And man, I was looking forward to seeing more Foster Griffin this year. I was thoroughly impressed with the way that he was pitching last night. And then to have that happen, it really is devastating that one of your future stars potentially here in Kansas City has to go down in his major league debut on his 25th birthday after pitching so well, which looks to be, you know, the dreaded potential Tommy John. We'll know more officially, obviously, when they release the information later on today or whatever the case may be. But we talk about that forearm, and everybody kind of had that same feeling last night. Oh no, this could be a long time.
Yeah,
injury.
It just the way his reaction was, and then certainly his reaction after the game as well, does not sound good for one. Foster Griffin was a bright spot in last night's win, but certainly it took a turn very quickly for the rookie. So game two of the set tonight. We don't know the pitching matchup.
No,
big mystery for both teams tonight. Tune in to Vern at 5, and then first pitch 6:10 tonight. Here on 610 Sports Radio, as it could be another pitching by committee evening for both squads.
Did you see the guy who pitched the final inning for the Tigers last night came in, and Ryan and Rex immediately go, that guy looks like Oil Can Boyd. And it was like a 2020 version of Oil Can Boyd, and they were telling some great Oil Can Boyd stories, and it got me to thinking, there's not a better nickname in sports, is there, than Oil Can?
Oil Can's pretty good.
I mean, it really is. Like, I don't know that you have an Oil Can today. Like, it's just an amazing nickname by Oil Can Boyd. And Rex at one point goes, yeah, the guy talked a lot of trash too, so we call him Trash Can Boyd.
And that guy promptly gave up a home run too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, exactly.
Doing a lot of trash talking himself.
Not that
necessarily
guy
in last night's game, but Royals a winner in the matchup with the Tigers, and again they'll face Detroit again tonight. 6:10 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. Baseball having to readjust yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Miami Marlins having to be essentially quarantined, didn't let them out of Philly, sent them on their way towards Baltimore, canceled their two games at home. They're going to try to have them
play on Wednesday, assuming they get back a bunch of tests or have enough players, bring up the taxi squad.
Right, that's why you have a taxi squad.
Whatever they have to do to get to Wednesday's game. But certainly created a mess around baseball yesterday to the point that Rob Manfred had to come out and make some statements.
All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
It's over. We are screwed.
So secret Rob Manfred audio.
Obtained exclusively
yes,
by us.
Yes. Rob Manfred handling things at the top of baseball yesterday.
It's not far off.
No, not really. He actually joined, though, MLB Network and asked if this was a nightmare situation for baseball.
I don't put this in the nightmare category. I mean, obviously, we don't want any player to get exposed. It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play. That's why we have the expanded rosters. That's why we have the pool of additional players. And we think we can keep people safe and continue to play.
Okay. Kind of prove it. And there were some rumblings yesterday that the Marlins may be the outlier in this, that it's not a failure in baseball protocol, but a failure in the Marlins making sure that their players were following everything they need to be doing.
Yep.
That seemed to be the rumor going around baseball.
Correct.
Including to Royals players.
Right.
So word traveled fast that maybe it wasn't a breakdown, but it was a team being irresponsible.
That's right.
To a certain extent.
Yep, exactly.
So, and which I think is needs to be part of, I don't want to call it investigation, but needs to be part of the diagnosis of what went on with the Phillies. Is this a baseball problem? Or sorry, Marlins. Is this a baseball problem? A fundamental breakdown in how they are protecting their players? Or was this a Marlins problem?
Well, and it does need to be an investigation because I think we all need to know, because yesterday at this time when all this stuff was starting to trickle out, I mean, it was dance on the grave of Major League Baseball time by whether it was media members, people on Twitter, or guys like David Price, who, you know, can't win a playoff game but can, you know, ultimately go out there and celebrate and dance on the grave of Major League Baseball.
This is why I didn't play.
Right, this is why I didn't play. Like, screw you. Who cares? Nobody, you know, you don't play in October either, man, so why would I expect you to play now? So, like, for guys like that and people who were dancing on the grave of Major League Baseball yesterday, I think Major League Baseball does need to go out there and tell everybody what happened, because right now they need to save face for themselves. It's easy to pile on Major League Baseball. It's easy to attack Rob Manfred. It's easy to say that the safety protocols aren't working. But if this was strictly one team not doing what they were supposed to be doing, then Major League Baseball needs to announce that. And just like the NHL announced no positive tests yesterday, and the NBA announced no positive tests last week, and the NFL is announcing, you know, tests and whatnot, Major League Baseball needs to come out and say, look, all the other teams are doing what they're supposed to do. The Florida Marlins aren't following protocol off the field, and that's why that's why they had all of those positive tests, and we're considering suspending the operation of the Florida Marlins going forward if they can't behave and do the proper things away from the ballpark. I think Major League Baseball needs to let that out there. We do need to narc on people.
Fesco has some ideas, and Bob's just trying to help. Hear it next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.